Thank you, Anne Marie. That was great. Appreciate that so much. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to end up there. I'm going to be reading some other verses, but you want to have your Bible open to Ephesians 5. Thank you so much for coming. My neighborhood was like World War III last night. I'll tell you what, I was walking around and having a great time visiting with some of the different neighbors. I thought, I'm not going to be able to sleep, so I might as well go out and have a good time with everybody. So I went and hung out with this neighbor and that neighbor. Do you see the moon last night? It was absolutely, at least the Dover moon, was absolutely amazing, and the fireworks, and we just had a great time. So I thought to myself, if we could only have all the money that they spent on fireworks, it'd be just amazing. Ephesians chapter 5, I'll be there in a little while. Lord, thank you for the time we could open up the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is free, the Spirit is sovereign, and we would ask that you would do a work in our lives this morning. Change us, change me. Lord, we need adjustment, we need readjustment, we need gospel influence. And thank you for what you're going to do, in Jesus' name, amen. There's an amazing picture of our salvation in John chapter 7, verse 37 and following. You could just listen. If you try to look up all these references, you'll get frustrated, okay? I promise you that. Jesus, it says this, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." That is gospel invitation. That is gospel invitation. And Jesus says this, "He who believes in me, he who trusts me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's a picture of the Spirit of God that would come later on the day of Pentecost. That is an ascension certainty to all who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been delineating on Lord's Day mornings ascension certainties. What happened after Lord Jesus went back to heaven to sit on the throne? It is a big topic. I'm limited. The more I look at this, the more there is to find, the more there is to talk about. It's sort of like trying to empty the ocean. Can never, never do it. And it's amazing how important it is, this topic of the ascension, and it's amazing how we neglect it. So I want to spend some time during our weeks together looking at that. So far, we gave you four ascension certainties or realities. Does anyone remember them? Because if you don't, we'll review anyhow. So ascension certainty number one, because of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have a heavenly what? Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And that's why Apostle Paul could say later, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. That is an ascension certainty. That could not have been promised apart from of the Lord Jesus Christ going back to the throne. The second ascension certainty that we gave you that was that we have a king on the throne right now. Third, we have a mission. That is being a witness and being a disciple maker. On a Wednesday night, men, if you're available, come out and join us for about an hour. We socially distance ourselves. We have our Bibles open. We go at it from 6:30 to 7:30. Men, you're invited to join us. But we're learning that if we're going to make disciples, we have to be a disciple. Because Jesus told the disciples to make disciples. Very, very important that we be about making disciples. And then there's a fourth ascension certainty we began to look at, and that is the promise of the Spirit of God indwelling permanently all those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at some biblical truths concerning the Spirit of God last week. I want to review for just a moment or so. We said the Word of God said that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is God, therefore all sovereign, all powerful. John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus said the Spirit blows where it does what he wishes to do, like the wind. The Word of God says the Spirit of God is given to every believer the moment they are saved. John chapter 3, verse 34 says, John the Baptist says of Jesus, "For he," Jesus, "gives the Spirit without measure." We mentioned that the Spirit of God has one overarching supreme goal. What is the main goal of the Holy Spirit? What is he about? Glorifying. John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus said, He shall glorify me. And I want to be bold enough to say, if we're not about glorifying Jesus, if that is not our passion, don't expect help from the Spirit. Because the Spirit's ministry is to bring all honor, all glory, point to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a person, we looked at this last Sunday, and therefore has feelings. He can be neglected. He can be grieved. He can be stifled. And we looked at Judges 16 where we saw that of Samson. God left Samson, and Samson didn't even know it. This morning, I want to look at a positive exhortation concerning the Spirit of God. Brian just read to us from Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, live according to the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The issue this morning I want to talk about is that the Spirit of God can be in you, and yet you could know very little of His power and influence. All right? You could have the Spirit dwelling in you, but the Spirit having very little of you. So I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning and look at a little bit of a controversial subject. I want to look at the filling of the Spirit and survey this a little bit and ask some questions and try to answer them, and appreciate so much you being with us this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm glad we took the offering first, Chuck, because this may be a little offensive. I'm not so sure. You may not like what I have to say this morning, so give first, then we'll look at this. Okay, that's a good thing to do. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 14. Follow along in your Bibles, if you would, please. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 14. Therefore, he says, Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See then, and remember, he's writing to Christians. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as what? Fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Are these evil days or what? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let me ask and try to answer four questions this morning concerning Holy Spirit filling. Controversial. Even the teachers here don't agree on all the nuances. I found some of my professors in Dallas looking at some of the notes and commentaries just as they don't agree on a lot of this. How am I supposed to figure it out? But let's try. Let's jump in here, okay? Number one, first question, why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit to fill us? Why do you think we need the Holy Spirit to fill us? Direction, that's good. Correction? Yeah. Okay. When Paul says be filled with the Spirit, it's not an option. It's a commandment. I think there are many reasons, and there are many good reasons. And you could probably give you some many reasons that are all right. But according to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, and you know this, it is very possible for a Christian, for someone who has trusted Christ as Savior, to live their life like a non-Christian. All right? It's possible to go through your whole Christian life living like a non-Christian. Why do I say this? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17, where Paul says, and there's a lot of verses I could read you here, but he says, "This I say therefore and testify, Lord, that you should no longer live as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." He goes on to explain that. It's possible to walk like an unconverted Gentile. It's possible. You can live your life as a believer. I know some disagree with this in the Reformed circles. It's possible to live your life dominated by besetting sins. Our culture calls them addictions. The Bible calls them besetting sins. All the manifestation. Do you know that racial prejudice is a sin? I met with a professor on, Tuesday morning for about 3 hours. Came to my house. I was honored. He'd come to my home. And I had questions for him. He has a PhD, teaches up there, and he has a high position up there. They're going to call the university now. And I wanted, African-American man, I wanted to hear what he had to say. Socially, he's about 51. I wanted to just pick his brain, and I had all my questions, and we had a good time. And bottom line, when it comes to racial prejudice, he said, bottom line, it's a sin issue. It's a sin issue. And if we're going to overcome that, it has to be the Spirit of God leading and guiding us, does it not? You can live your life, I can live my life, trusting or relying on self. Look at these verses again, and I want to show you how serious this is, well, how much we need it. Paul says, look at verse 14, and I won't read all these verses, but I'll just give you my list here. Number one, it's possible, very possible, for a Christian to be asleep. He says here, wake up, you who sleep, verse 14. A believer can be zoned out. A believer can be numb to everything going on around him or her. Verse 16, the Word of God says, it is possible for Christians to waste all their time. Right? That's why he says, buy the time back, redeem the time. It's possible, verse 15, for Christians to be fools. You want to be called a fool? I don't want to be called a fool. Paul says, I can live my life apart from the Spirit of God as a fool. And then, verse 18, it's possible, too possible for Christians to be controlled or influenced by the wrong things. Otherwise, there would not be an exhortation not to be. My wife went away. She's watching. She's checking up on me, so she's going to watch this later on. And I had my list before she went away. Boy, she gave me this list of how to water her plants. You know how to water plants, Mike? You just get the hose and water plants. Man, it took a day to water all her plants on the inside. A cup for this one, a teaspoon for this. Oh my, okay, yeah, we love to do it. All right. But let me tell you what she did not say to me before she left. She did not say, make sure you do not watch too much sports on television. Okay? She did not say that to me. All right? She did not say to me while I'm gone, make sure you do not eat too much zucchini. Okay? She did not say those two things to me. Why didn't she have to say those two things to me? She knows the zucchini for me is a flower. Leave it alone, okay? Let it grow big, okay? And she knows that the last thing I'm going to do, unless Bob invites me over to feed me something, I'm not going to be watching sports. Boy, I had one of my best friends, he's with the Lord now. He invited me to his house. He moved away. And, Sunday afternoon after we got done with a great church service, he wanted to sit down. His name was Louie. He was tough. Boy, he got saved. This guy was wild, man. He got saved. Italian guy, he told me, he says, when I got saved, I lost 50% of my vocabulary, if you know what I mean, okay? He was a wild guy. He saw things in black and white. We'd go out 3 a.m. looking for sin, and he'd find it. It's amazing. It was wild times. But so we're at his house, Vineland, New Jersey, Sunday afternoon after a nice Italian meal. And you know what he wants to do? I want to debate some issue. I mean, he's great. He's a Word of Life guy. You know what he wanted to do? No, that would have been a step in the right direction. Louie wanted to watch golf on TV. Golfer friends, I love you, okay, but you know what? I can't think of, I would rather not eat zucchini. No, forget that one, okay. What I'm saying here is the fact that Paul tells us not to do certain things means we're either doing them or very capable of doing them as Christians. And if somebody tells you that once you get saved, you're never going to be bothered by these things again, they're lying to you, all right? The closer you grow to Christ, the more sensitive you're going to be about sin. I'll tell you what, things bother me that never bothered me before. Amen? We need the Spirit of God because the mind of Christ is usually not the dominating influence in our lives. Filling means control. Okay, let me define it. Filling means control. It means having the supernatural influence or power in our life. John 15, 5, Jesus told his disciples, apart from me, you can do what? We think we can, and we try. And there's some great monuments built there, but you know what Jesus said? They're nothing. Look at Ephesians 5:18. I want to show you one word that we usually read, and we say, well, that has nothing to do with us. Maybe it does. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine in which is what? What's that next word there? When's the last time you used that word, dissipation? All right, some of your translations say debauchery. King James says excess. Let me tell you what the word means. Because we usually just say, well, that's not us. We're not drunk. The word means that which brings nothing of value. That which brings nothing of value. Most of us will not get drunk. Most of us here probably do not even go near alcohol yet, hear me. Apart from the Spirit of God filling and controlling us, most of us will end up doing things, living lives that are filled with nothing but debauchery, nothing of value. And as Dr. Cohen often teaches about the judgment seat of Christ, one day we're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus, and he's going to say, what did you do with that life I gave you? What did you do with those gifts? You were born in the greatest country in the world. What's the greatest country in the world? United States. I was listening to a man yesterday speaking. He's American. He's over in Zambia now. And he said, you know what? This is the greatest place in the world, and everybody wants to come here. And you know what we say to people don't like it here? What do we say to people don't like it here? Canada. Apart from the Holy Spirit filling or controlling us, we'll end up wasting our lives. We need spirit control. Second question, and I answer this a little bit. What does the filling of the Holy Spirit mean? A lot of you have read this and studied this and taught on this, but bottom line, the Spirit of God is one of the main gifts that the ascended Christ gave us. Dr. John MacArthur said the filling of the Spirit means to live in the consciousness of the personal presence of Jesus Christ. I like that. One teacher said, filling of the Spirit is language. The Old Testament temple was filled with the Shekinah glory. The New Testament temple, that's us. Our bodies are the temple of the Spirit of God. We're filled with God himself through the person of the Holy Spirit. Professor Bacadala said, the filling of the Spirit means having a new habit of life. A new habit of life. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 and following says this, the night is far spent, the day at hand, therefore let us cast off the work of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. That's being filled with the Spirit of God. Bottom line issue is control. Who controls you? Who controls you? And either I control myself or the Spirit of God is to control myself. Ephesians 5:18. Again. It says, do not be drunk with wine. What happens when, not you, but when a person is controlled by and with alcohol? What happens to that person? I love these masks. I can't hear words. Loses faculty. Loses faculty, loses memory. Yeah, loses memory. Out of control. Says things. A lot of bad things. Luke 4, verse 28, and again, spirit filling is a matter of control. That's what I want to get across here. In Luke 4, verse 28, it talks about religious leaders who were filled with wrath. Anger controlled them. Anger controlled them. It says that Satan entered Judas. What does that mean? That means Satan controlled Judas. Filling of the Holy Spirit means the Spirit of God controls us. And often spirit, supernatural ability. Number three, third question. How do I obey the command? How am I to be filled with the Spirit? Boy, that takes volumes. But let me give you a couple ideas. How do I obey the command? Well, first of all, if we're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, it means dealing with sin in our lives. Okay, where we're to confess. We're not to neglect the Spirit, not to grieve Him, not to stifle Him. But three things here, three things quickly. If I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God, there needs to be yieldedness. There needs to be yieldedness to the Spirit of God. Second thing, there needs to be, you can't get away from this, there needs to be word saturation. We need to be saturated with the Word of God. I mean, you can know the Word and not be Spirit controlled, but you can't be Spirit controlled unless you're saturated with the Word of God. It says this, Colossians 3, verse 16. It said, where is it? Colossians 3, 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, be filled with the word of Christ. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And there's a matter of faith. But I want to get to the fourth question here. This is a make or break question. How do I know? How do you know you are being controlled or filled by the Holy Spirit? How do you know? How do you know the Spirit of God is controlling you? I have a wireless mic I'm wearing. And if I look at it and the red light is not on, we're in trouble. All right? I wish it was a green light, Tim. Why red light? But it'd be nice, Tom, if I could look at on my wrist somewhere or see a light come on and say, the Spirit of God is filling you right now. You're fine. Or go off and we need to, it'd be really nice. We don't have that. How do I know? Well, when the Spirit of God is controlling us, there's going to be joy, right? There's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. There's going to be supernatural ability. There's going to be gospel assurance and boldness. There's going to be leading and guiding. I saw that yesterday very, very clearly. But in Ephesians 5, verse 19 through 21, there's some key elements. You need to pay attention here because this is make or break, right? If these are not evident in your life, you're not being controlled by the Spirit. You're not going to like this. You may not like this. You may not. I don't know. Right? Three key behaviors. This is really important because this is where the experts disagree. And my guys at Dallas, half of them believe that we're talking about results here. Some of them believe in evidences. So let's lay it out. How do I know? Is it because I'm speaking in tongues or because I can heal people or do all kind of miracles? That'd be nice. Three things the text says. They're participles. I'm just going to give them to you. One, two, three. One, two, three. If and when the Spirit of God is controlling you, if you are filled with the Spirit, there is going to be joyful, Christ-centered, celebratory worship. That's a lot. Worship. Joyful, celebratory, Christ-centered worship overflowing. Look what the text says in verse 19. Speaking to one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? In your hearts. In your heart. To the Lord. What's in your heart? What are you singing about? What's overflowing? The man or woman being controlled by the Spirit of God is going to experience celebratory worship. And if you're not, there's something going on there. There's a second category. There's a second evidence here. Verse 20 says, not only is there joyful, Christ-centered worship, there will be a heart overflowing with what? Gratitude, thanksgiving. You can't get away from it. Verse 20, let me read it to you slowly. Giving thanks. What's the next word there? What's that word?
Always.
What's the next one? For what? All things. That's pretty much all inclusive. I don't like that. There's just some things I don't want to be thankful for. We're not going through a fun time right now. I'm not. You're not. You know what it says? All things. To God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. There's going to be heart overflowing with thankfulness. You'll find that all through the New Testament, will you not? No matter how bad it is, no matter how ugly it looks, I'm going to have a heart of gratitude. And one being controlled by the Spirit of God is going to have a heart of worship, a heart of gratitude, and you're not going to like this last one. Number three. Did you take the offering already? All right. Number three, verse 21. A heart of submission. A heart of submission. And we're not talking about being submissive to who. Who is not the case here. It's just an internal heart of submission. The Bible says, submitting to who? One another. Submitting to one another. Having a heart of submission. And you can put in there self-denial if you like, not about me. A heart of submission. Not submitting on the outside, not giving lip service. A heart of submission is internal. That is indication that the Spirit of God is controlling you. And when we get the message, boy, my wife said, "You really going to say this?" I said, "I'm going to think I'm going to say this anyhow." You know, when we get the message, when it came on WGAL the other day, and you know, I emailed it out and said, "You know, the governor of the Pennsylvania said he is mandating, required, whatever word you want to use for us to wear a mask," and we say, "We ain't not going to wear a mask. We don't like the governor." I like the governor. "We don't like the governor. We think it's dumb. I don't like a mess. Blah, 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 blah." You know what? The Spirit of God is not controlling that heart. Because it's an inner attitude. And I'm going to say you got to put a mask on. Now, if you can't wear a mask, don't wear a mask, okay? You don't have to have it on. I'm just saying the inner attitude that says, "Well, you know, I don't like that. I don't want to." Is an indication that Spirit's not controlling us. Somebody else is. Joyful worship, heart of gratitude, submission. And Paul will go further to spell out that submission in the home, in the workplace, in the church place. It fleshes out different areas, but it is an inner heart. Inner heart. See, I can be obeying the rules. I can be doing what someone wants me to do and not be submissive. You know that. It's a little kid, you heard it years ago, saying, "You know what? I'm sitting on the outside, but standing on the inside." You know that kind of a thing. It's an evidence of the Spirit of God. I have a choice. You have a choice. I have a continual choice. And that choice is, am I going to walk after the flesh, do what I want to do, or am I going to walk after the Spirit? I don't understand a lot. I wish Paul would have given us a lot more information about Holy Spirit filling. I wish he did. He didn't. He laid down some criteria, but I have that choice. I have that choice. And I have another choice. Who am I trusting? Who am I trusting? Who am I living for? Let's pray this morning. Let's pray this morning. Wow, Father, we read that. We say, wow. Don't like that. Don't like that. We don't want anyone telling us what to do because we all know better. And Lord, that's not your Son living out his life through the Spirit in our hearts. Father, we'll admit we don't understand a lot about this topic, the Spirit of God. We do have a little bit of understanding of what you've written to us, but Lord, there's so much we need to learn from you, learn from the Spirit himself as he illuminates the text to us. But Father, we want to be men and women, young people, who are controlled by your Spirit. We want to be people who are worshiping, who are full of gratitude, and have a submissive spirit before a watching world. Lord, may we demonstrate that. May we experience your power And may we see you do things through our lives that are unexplainable, except understanding your Spirit is working through us. Father, we ask if there is someone here this morning who has never placed their faith in Christ, maybe listening, maybe even here, that you would give them no peace, no rest until they run from whatever they're trusting, leaning on, and place their faith, place their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, ascended, that we might have life, simply by calling on his name. Lord, thank you for the word of God. And may we do all things for the sake of the gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen.